This is Locally Grown Radio.
CBS News Brief. The Commerce Department says shoppers went on a spending spree last month. Fueled by big ticket items, retail sales rose a better than expected 1.4%. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
This report shows that people were very worried that car prices and truck prices would rise as a result of those 25% tariffs.
Attorney General Pam Bondi says the Trump administration is suing Maine's education department for not complying with the government's push to ban transgender athletes in girls' sports.
This is about sports. This is also about these young women's personal safety.
President Trump is calling Harvard a joke and making new funding threats. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
He said they should lose all of their federal funding, not just the $2.2 billion that he has frozen so far. He slammed some of their hiring decisions.
Harvard's openly defied administration demands to limit on-campus activism. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Madison city clerk has resigned months after nearly 200 ballots went uncounted in November, and as an investigation into the errors continue. Savannah Tolme Olson has followed the story from the beginning.
Mary Beth Witzel Bell has been at her post for almost 20 years. She's been at the center of the uncounted ballots case when 193 absentee ballots were found after the November election. The mayor's office said Witzel Bell didn't notify anybody about it until weeks later. The city opened its own investigation, as did the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The commission has the power to determine that the clerk acted improperly or even illegally, and the next part of their investigation would likely include asking people to sit for depositions, including Witzel Bell. And then last month, she was placed on paid administrative leave. In a statement from Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, she thanked Witzel Bell for her service. Madison City Attorney Michael Haas has been acting as interim city clerk.
It's the season for tornadoes, running from April to August. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us how they form.
A tornado is a violently rotating column of air extending from the bottom of a thunderstorm down to the ground. They can completely destroy well-made buildings, uproot trees, and hurl things through the air, turning them into deadly missiles. A tornado can touch down during the day and at night. But they do need three specific things to form. The fuel, which is the heat and humidity. A spark, which lifts the warm air up, usually from a cold front. And the last thing needed is a spin in the sky. For example, if you put a pen between your hands and roll it, one hand moved faster than the other to make that happen. This is what the winds need to be doing at different levels or directions. And all of those must happen for the perfect tornadic environment. And when they align, it happens fast. Twisters can also lift up and drop down again, creating gaps in their path and sparing one house over the other.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice mid-April day with a good amount of sunshine and a break from the wind as well. High temperatures in the mid-50s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, increasing clouds, scattered showers developing in the afternoon, highs near 60. It's 35 at our studio.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I'm joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
We got some entertainment news to get into, talk some local theater while we're at it. We're also going to get into some other fun stuff. What's a common thing people say that makes no darn sense? Got that coming up. Also, we're going to talk a little spring cleaning, and we'll get into some local great things going on in our area. And we're going to wrap up the show putting focus on our Easter egg hunts.
Yes, we got a lot of them. Yeah.
So many.
We'll be doing that throughout the end of the week. Actually, it'll take us all week.
No, yeah. There's so many. Just to finish it.
We'll be talking about them throughout, doing that throughout the rest of the week here and everything, getting people ready for Easter coming up this weekend. And we're going to be talking more about Easter also throughout the show here as well. But wanted to kick off talking a little entertainment news, and we're going to go right into a couple of other stories. Some that I was telling you guys a little bit about. Wanted to make sure that we had some time for this because this is... I don't know how to feel about this. We've had some live action, but Scooby-Doo movies and now a series? Well, Netflix has been developing a live action Scooby-Doo series.
Okay.
They've been doing this for about a year already, and they're calling it a modern reimagining.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's never good. Quote, during their final summer at camp, old friends Shaggy and Daphne get embroiled in a haunting mystery surrounding a lonely lost Great Dane puppy that may have been a witness to a supernatural murder. Together with the paramic and scientific townie Velma and the strange but very but ever so handsome new kid Freddy, they set out to solve the case that is pulling each of them into a creepy nightmare that threatens to expose all of their secrets.
Jeez.
Just admit you can't come up with anything. Just admit it. Just admit it.
Can we admit what this is based on, okay? It was a cartoon show that was as formulaic as it got. You know, the supernatural, quote unquote, supernatural phenomenon would be different every time. Mm-hmm. But it's the basic premise was always the same.
Right.
There
was a villain.
There was a villain. And they took the mask off at the end of the show, right?
Right.
Where did they buy the masks?
You know how they made them and stuff? That's interesting.
Every one of these villains, quote unquote villains, and they were never really that bad. They were bad, but they were like, you know.
They're not murdering people. They're trying to steal something, basically, is what it is. Yeah.
Where they got these masks, I mean, I would love to know.
Put a lot of thought and effort into their crimes, man.
I know for a fact that Quality Plus Printing wasn't even invented yet, so I know they didn't get them there.
That's right.
I don't know where they got those masks.
No Spirit Halloweens, nothing like that, you know?
It's just, you know, it's such a lame idea. I will say this, like the first time they wanted to do something like this, take some old TV show or cartoon and reimagine it, fine. After that, it's all just like lame to me.
Yeah.
I cannot think of any, like Rocco's Modern Life, they're going to reimagine that. A Wallaby, Lost in the, what are we doing? Ren and Stimpy, reimagine a cat and a dog that don't get along.
Oh, a live action Ren and Stimpy would be horrifying.
What are we doing?
Oh my God.
Like, we are begging and asking people to go to the movies to stream like 20 different streaming services for $10 at the very least.
Netflix is up to 20 now.
And yet the entertainment industry is not even, nuts. Netflix is not worth $20 a month to me.
I'm sorry,
but they are not. And I shouldn't be saying that because I really need the work, but I stand on that.
Yeah, you still work for them. You're just not going to spend the money.
Yeah. It just screams, we have nothing. We have no ideas. I would imagine either a couple of kids in high school coming up with this idea, or we all know the 2 a.m. idea. We all know what I'm talking about when I say the 2 a.m. idea. We're like, oh, this is a great idea. You look at it at 7 in the morning with clear eyes. You're like, what was I thinking?
What was I thinking?
A live-action reimagining of Scooby-Doo? Nobody needs that. Nobody wants that. Please correct me if I'm wrong. If this sounds like a good idea to anybody out there, I want to hear it from you.
There are fan productions that sound somewhat like this, that like take like the deadly serious, you know, thing, you know, it's like murder and all these things, and but that's fan stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're gonna spend money on this.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
One thing that I would like to see them do is grab the cast from the Scooby-Doo movies and put them in this. That would be a little,
because they're all a lot older now.
Interesting. Yeah, it'd be a little interesting, but no.
They're not going to do that.
And there's no way Sarah Michelle Gellar would sign up for that. She's too smart for that.
No.
She's too smart for that. I don't know. We'll see. I'll be following that story.
Mm.
A story that has been being followed as long as we have been alive is the idea of what broke up the Beatles, and it was Yoko and and everything. And, you know, it's cool that we've been around long enough and that, more importantly, that she has been around long enough to see the other side of this.
Right.
Where now I wouldn't say that even half of the population thinks that Yoko Ono broke up the Beatles.
Nope.
Which is the exact opposite of when we were kids.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a good thing. But for decades, people blamed Yoko Ono for breaking up the Beatles. But that narrative has been exposed over the years as a myth. And there's more that's come up with it, of course, too. Well, it's an exaggeration at the very least. Now, what if I told you there's a new school of thought that turns this whole thing on its head? What if Yoko actually kept the Beatles together?
Ooh, longer than they might have?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what a writer, David Sheff, claims in his new book, Yoko, A Biography.
Oh, wow.
He says, quote, there's a version of the Beatles story in which there'd be no Let It Be or Abbey Road without Yoko. Mm. Quote, during the writing and recording of those albums, John had a foot out the door. Mm-hmm. If he hadn't had Yoko, the other foot might have followed sooner than it did. He says, quote, she accompanied John, literally holding his hand sometimes to the sessions that resulted in the final Beatles albums.
Wow.
So when I'm a little kid and I'm growing up with the biggest Beatles fan in the universe, and to the point where he names his kid John, his middle name John, all I can hear is these stories, because I'm coming around, of course, as the Beatles are already gone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And all I see is a woman, you know, madly in love with a man, and the man madly in love with a woman, and them wanting to spend time together. But what I see in the pictures is a guy who is like basically, you know, clinging to this woman. Mm-hmm. and clearly going through some stuff.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we don't, you know, we'll never know exactly what John Lennon was going through completely and everything. Mm-hmm. But I know from a lot of his biographies and a lot of what he has said in interviews, a lot of the stuff that John was going through right before and as he was, you know, growing a relationship with Yoko Ono was a lot of his trauma and his past. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that he had done in his past that he was not proud of, having accountability about a lot of those things. That is part of the reason Yoko Ono even gave him a chance. Mm-hmm. Because the other part of this is Yoko, he had to fight to get Yoko's attention.
He did.
Yoko wasn't that interested in him. He was just a rich English boy. That was not her thing.
She was already an artist in her own right. Yoko, she had already had exhibits and stuff. I mean, yeah.
Did Yoko Ono and being with John Lennon help bring her attention to her art? Sure. Mm-hmm. She did not need him, though. She already had a career going.
She did.
There's not really a lot of comps, but it's great to see some of this coming to light. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's no necessarily proof of this, of course, but I don't think that you have to. I don't know if you need it really. I think that's one of those things that when you think about it, makes some mm-hmm. sense.
And to really throw this out there, David Sheff is a very good writer. He's written for Rolling Stone for decades, and he knows his pop music stuff. He's a very good writer. So I would say that I would take what he says with some weight, yeah, because I think he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting thing, and I imagine that book is going to be interesting, too.
Yeah.
Wanted to talk some local theater, and before we get moving to Rapids Theater here in Rapids, I did want to talk about our great friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater and mm-hmm. CWAC. They've got Don Quixote de la Center coming up May 8th through the 11th over at their studios there. Mm-hmm. We're going to be joined by some of the cast tomorrow, Seth and I, for Director's Playhouse.
Yeah.
Looking forward to interviewing. I know Susan's going to be a part of that, and mm-hmm. We'll see who else we can drag into the interview with us.
Invite.
Did I say drag? I meant invite. And I want to remind everybody that April Final Fridays, they've got a fun thing that they do over there for that over at mm-hmm. the 1952 Minnesota Avenue in Stevens mm-hmm. Point.
A.K.A. The Shack.
The Shack.
The yep. Shack. Mm-hmm. Carrie Dreger going to be hosting this one. That's awesome.
Nice.
Carrie's so great. She's fabulous. And buy local, support local. That includes the arts, everybody, and take in great things that they're doing over there at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking more about that on Director's Playhouse this weekend. Be listening for that. Great. And of course, we have been getting behind the scenes of and the making of when it comes mm-hmm. to our final main stage show over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, mm-hmm. and that is Noises Off, directed by our own Melissa Kay.
Woo!
Mel, how did rehearsals go last night?
Well,
sensitive questions that we ask here. On the morning show.
Well, we worked hard on Act Two last night, and Act Two is a bit of a beast.
It is.
It's really testing the limits and the abilities of my crew, my cast, and they are rising to the challenge.
All right.
After our first run through, I was like, okay, guys, we're gonna do that again because reasons. And I need you to do better. You did good, but I need you to do better. So we did it again, and they did better.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's the only way it gets done. That's right. You know,
yes, the repetition.
Got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
No, they are doing fantastic. They're working really, really hard. And I can promise you, audiences, you're going to laugh through this whole show. Yeah. This is a farce. And it is fantastic. It is, it's well written. I have the best cast in the world. Mm-hmm. And our crew is great. Our crew, the whole crew will be there tonight for our stage crew. And we are going to be working the set changes, which are part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's and, true, yeah. And then we'll be running Act Two again.
And again.
And again. Getting to Act Three for the first time in a long time. So the challenge is on for this crew and cast, and I have every confidence they're going to pull this off because they're doing fantastic.
Oh, yes.
You're going to be able to see that fantastic performance starting May 1st. Everybody, get your tickets at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Get on over there. Pick out your seating, because you can do that over there. That's pretty
cool. That's right. Just right online there.
Get yourself a great seat. We encourage you to do that. And buy local support the arts, everybody, at wrctheater.org. You can also go there and see the main stage shows for the 25-26 season.
Yeah, they posted their shows.
They did.
Yeah, great ones. Great one. I don't see anything where I'll be on stage next year, unfortunately, but I'm hoping to be directing. We'll see if they use me. I don't know. I'd love to direct any one of those. They all look good. Great set of shows going up next season. Buy local, support local, everybody. We'll be taking a time out. We're going to come back, and we're talking some spring cleaning when we get back on the morning show here at WFHR.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life. But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Coming up on the next Midday Magazine, we'll spend part one with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher, and in part two, Wood County Health Department. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice mid-April day with a good amount of sunshine and a break from the wind as well. High temperatures in the mid-50s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, increasing clouds, scattered showers developing in the afternoon, highs near 60. It's 35 at our studios.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a great one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little spring cleaning. A new spring cleaning poll found that if you haven't converted your garage into an Airbnb yet, there's a good chance it's full of junk.
What?
31% of Americans, 31% say that their garage is at least half filled with clutter. That includes 9% who said it's so full they can't park in it.
That's funny.
Just 24% said that the garage is clutter-free, 23% said that around a quarter full, and the remaining 23% said that they don't have a garage.
Mm.
It's a moot point.
The maybe you can take all of your stuff and make a garage with it. Maybe if you, you don't have one. The poll
completely completely made out of tarps. This is my garage.
I'm really proud of this garage.
The tape and tarp.
Nothing but it. The poll found we also use a significant portion of our home for storage, at least 100 square feet for most of us.
Oh, really?
Wow. One in five said more than 500 square feet, which is around the size of a two-car garage.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That, yeah.
If we are cleaning everything out, the top things we'd use are our extra space for our hobbies, a guest bedroom, and a home gym. Home gym. No, I mean, didn't. Maybe we would. Maybe we would. Last stat. 71% of people have bought something they knew they already owned because they just couldn't find the original. 71% of us have done that. And I say us because I know I've done that.
Oh, yes. I know I've done that before. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you know when you're going to find it, of course.
Yeah.
When you get home.
As soon as you get another one.
Yes.
Oh, there it is.
One note about this that I do think is not brought up in the stats of the survey, and I don't blame them necessarily for this because it's a little gray area, but my parents are part of a generation that were kind of the last generation of, hey, here's a home. Hey, you need a car? Here's a car. Your parents get you that. Our parents, not just mine, I'm sorry, all of our parents essentially were a part of that generation of, that's not going to happen anymore. You know, that's not happening as much, at least.
No, you're right. You're right.
And my mom and dad were much older when they got a chance to finally own a home.
Right.
And when they did, there was joy and happiness, as you can imagine, out there. And then there was, oh my God, we got all this space. And then they started filling that space.
Yep.
And here we are 20 years later, and man, they've got a lot of stuff in that house.
Yes, they do.
And half of the house, especially the basement, is filled with things that they don't know what to do with, but they're not getting rid of because they've waited their whole lives to have space. And even though it's been 20 years, they spent the first 40 or 30 or whatever wanting space. And mm-hmm. so they don't really know what to do with space because none of us get a playbook for this stuff.
No.
Right.
We're all just told, hey, wing it. You know, here's a home, wing it, you know, if you're fortunate enough to have a home, you know, and that kind of thing. And this is, you know, I'm not saying that this isn't even a good problem to have. It's just one that I think is rarer and rarer as we're going along here. And it has to be noted that there are a lot of people out there that did not know what it was like or even were told if they'd ever even own a home.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
And I don't know if there are more. If there are better examples of something that every single one of us Americans should be taking as a hit to our pride in America, that how many of us can confidently say that the next generations, how many of them are going to own a home?
Huh. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't say. You're right. We can't say.
Yeah, we can't say with any kind of confidence.
And that falls on every one of us as Americans. Mm-hmm. If you don't think it does, then you're not a part of the team. Because this is something that we all got to start getting better about.
Mm-hmm.
I ask every one of our politicians, when I'm interviewing them for candidacy or when they have been elected, are you going to represent everybody, not just the people that voted for you?
Right.
We as Americans, I think, can get better about this as well. Mm-hmm. Even people that don't agree with us politically, even people that root for a different sports team, or God forbid, are from a different zip code. Mm-hmm. Guess what? They're a part of this too. Mm-hmm. And we're all connected.
Yep.
The way that things go for us is no different than how it goes down the Mississippi, you know? So if we can get better about this and start including all of that in this, and maybe we can be a little bit better and have a home.
Yeah. Place for your stuff, right?
Because this stuff is not going to get corrected with us, barking and whining and complaining. It's not going to get better doubling down. It's not going to get better ignoring the problem. And this idea that, well, you got to toughen it up or sometimes you got to take your medicine. How much medicine you taking, man? What are you sacrificing? When have you ever sacrificed one thing in your life? Give me one thing that you or any politician out there have sacrificed or have given up for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many of them
have lived in a rental property where the landowner was absent, was not even in the same state, let alone zip code.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of spring cleaning and doing some of this stuff, I'm thankful that this is still a topic, even honestly. Right. Because this, and I'm not talking about dusting and that. I mean, yeah. When I think of spring cleaning, I also think of, okay, hey, we're getting rid of stuff, or we're moving the snowblower over here, some of those things. Right. The fact that if we can do that, that you have that kind of space, or you have a snowblower, any of this stuff. That's a win right there, yeah, that this is a problem and everything.
Right.
I do think, though, that it's noteworthy and interesting when you think about the amount of people that never maybe even thought they would have a home, and now they do, and like, oh my God, what do I do with all this space? What do I do with this home?
Right.
I don't know. There's only so many things that you can learn from mom and dad and all that stuff.
Right.
Yep, some of it is just experience.
Did we talk about this? I don't think we did. This one I wanted to get to, too, as we're getting ready to get into our news break and stuff. And I will admit to the audience journalistically. Growing up, we played Monopoly a lot in my house.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of like the game because it's nostalgic to me.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's actually the game. The game Monopoly, I could take or leave if I ever played another game. But there's something that I cannot even think about the game Monopoly and not get nostalgic and thinking of my family.
Being a little kid. Kid.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I will admit that as we go into this topic here, a total of 918 people sat down at 150 tables to play simultaneously games of Monopoly and break a Guinness World Record in Australia.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
I have never necessarily been mad at the country of Australia, but this one angered me. I have been playing Monopoly literally my whole life, and they did not reach out. I thought this
was
common
major
knowledge.
Love. Wait, you just said you didn't love Monopoly. That's probably why.
No. Yeah, that might have a little to do with it. The record attempt in Sydney was organized by the Little Legs Foundation, a charity that raises funds and awareness for children with brain cancer, and Sue Ellen and Mariano Vezzolano, whose daughters, Allegra, died of brain cancer at the age of 6 in 2017.
Wow. That's really cool.
What a beautiful way to break a record.
Yeah,
and what a beautiful reason.
And for a really good reason.
Yeah.
Quote, we really wanted to create a space that allowed for both young and old to come together, celebrate her, and accomplish something that everyone would be proud of. Sue Ellen mentioned to the Guinness World Records people. Mm-hmm. All whilst raising awareness for the disease that took our daughter, brain cancer.
Wow.
The attempt was the second organized by the Little Legs Foundation after a previous attempt for the most people playing Monopoly fell 30 people short of the previous record of 733.
Oh, wow.
So this is the second time they've done this, and that somehow is even more interesting to me.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool story right there.
Awesome.
We are going to get to our news partner and sponsor break. When we come back, we're talking about what's a common thing people say that makes no darn sense. Coming up on the morning show with Melissa, Seth, and James here at 97.5 FM WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin sits on two Great Lakes, which lends itself perfectly to the shipbuilding industry. Lisa Hill reports on efforts to rebuild domestic shipbuilding.
Marinette, Sturgeon Bay, Manitowoc, Milwaukee, Green Bay, all cities involved in commercial and military shipbuilding. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin wants to ensure that our nation's shipbuilding industry remains strong and vibrant. Baldwin has introduced Buy America and Made in America requirements into the defense bill.
By the way, you know, we know about the big shipyards in Wisconsin. But there are hundreds of and upon hundreds of small businesses that supply certain components for those ships.
She added military vessels aren't the only ones to be concerned with. Baldwin said not so many decades ago, the U.S. dominated shipbuilding. That's no longer the case.
I think in the last year for which there are records, we built in the United States 5 commercial ships and China built 1,700. So hopefully that sunk in. We have gone from being dominant in commercial shipbuilding to having our lunch eaten by China.
Baldwin added that she will be happy to work with President Donald Trump in efforts to resurrect the U.S. shipbuilding industry. Early in his current administration, the president said he was committed to that objective. Last week, Trump directed the Department of Defense to explore actions that could bring commercial shipbuilding back to the United States. She said one of the actions might be docking fees for Chinese vessels.
But he's set in motion the work that the administration has to do to see that through. And that's one where I'll work really closely with him. And
Baldwin made her comments during a virtual town hall meeting for her constituents in Northeast Wisconsin earlier this month. I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The crew shuts out the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat Detroit 5-0, thanks to the pitching staff led by starter Quinn Priester, holding the Tigers to just one hit and no runs. Pat Murphy and how GM Matt Arnold and the Brewers scouts found the 24-year-old right-hander.
You know, it's hats off to them for finding a guy in AAA that can come and give us two pretty good outings so far, and looks like he's a lot to work with and great kid and competitor, and seems like, once again, they strike again. Matt Arnold and his posse.
NBA, the Bucks holding practice, getting ready for Saturday's playoff game at noon against the Pacers. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have lost their starting left tackle for the season due to a torn ACL, head coach Luke Fickell on tackle Kevin Haywood.
Obviously, I think he's going to have surgery, so it's probably going to lose him and probably not going to get him back, obviously, even for the season. So that was one that's going to be really difficult and tough. But, you know, it's also a part of the game.
That's the Badgers' Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
It's game day every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers. Thanks to local businesses Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, you can join us 5 to 6 with your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. Covering local sports like no one else.
Clearing it out, and it is almost caught.
We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players and coaches, and you. 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers.
Get out of here!
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice mid-April day with a good amount of sunshine and a break from the wind as well. High temperatures in the mid-50s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, increasing clouds, scattered showers developing in the afternoon, highs near 60. It's 35 at our studios.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, James here with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Someone on social media asked, what's a common thing people say that makes zero sense? Nobody understands. Melissa gave us the perfect example a little bit earlier with elbow grease.
Right.
So you know what I'm going to do right now. Longtime listeners know how I am with idioms and looking into the going down the rabbit
the
hole of these.
Of idioms.
I've never looked up elbow grease. So
there you go. All right.
Elbow grease refers to hard physical work or effort, of course, and they said that it originated in the 17th century.
Ooh.
The first recorded use is attributed to English poet Andrew Marvelli in 1672 in his work Rehearsal de Tramparsarto. The term likely arose from the physical extraction and movements of the elbow and when doing manual labor.
Oh, okay.
Likely originated from the elbow's role in manual labor is where they're stemming from.
And so it's the grease that the elbow is creating. It's not necessarily
like
putting grease on your elbow, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, my grandma would always say, put some elbow grease into it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a great one. Yeah. I'm pretty sure my nana said that one.
Oh, too. Yeah.
That's a good one. So here are some other examples of things that people say that make no darn sense. And yes, we want audience participation. You can call up 715-424-2600 or text us or call in through the Civic Media app.
That's right. We want to hear from you.
I'm sweating like a pig. Pigs don't sweat. They really don't. They don't. They don't really have sweat. Similar to dogs, I believe. Dogs don't have sweat glands. Dogs sweat through their tongue.
Through their paws, I heard. I actually found this out not that long ago. Through the pads of their paws. That's where they sweat through. Right. Yeah.
I'm healthy as a horse.
Are horses healthy?
Yeah, if you have a horse,
I mean, sometimes
you know this doesn't jive. Yeah, horses also traditionally, I mean, they are not the healthiest animals. They can be, you know, taken care of. I'm sorry, but
it all depends on breeding, I suppose. How about and horse pills? Okay, so remember, you know, like really big pills are called horse pills.
Pill.
Yeah, because do horses take large pills?
I mean,
I don't know.
Cows do.
Oh, like, okay, yeah.
I mean, they have like a whole tool. That's got a thing with where you put the big giant pill inside
and then shove it down their throats.
This one always angered my mother, especially having me as a child. I slept like a baby. Her baby literally didn't sleep.
That's a great, that's one I always thought too. When Beth and I got lucky with Roan. He was a very good sleeper. And then we got Anders. So that's the reason
there's
we had a second
kid.
You know?
Unthaw or de-thaw?
Oh.
It's not really.
Because it's kind of an oxymoron.
It is. Yeah. You're right.
Or a double negative. There we go.
Because it's just thaw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You thaw something.
We do that with a lot of things.
Unfrozen, I guess, is the actual word you should use, right?
Right.
Unfrozen.
Right.
No one says it, though.
6 a.m. in the morning. That's it.
Yeah, you're redundant.
Hold on to do that.
Very redundant. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're saying AM, you know it's similar.
To
my first and really only lessons in radio. Don't say the point part. Everybody knows it's 0.5, and and you don't have to say degrees when you're given the temps.
Yep, that's true.
People
that's
know true. That you're not talking Celsius.
It's 36 little circle in the corner.
Saying someone did a 360 when they change, it would be a 180, of course.
Right, that's turning around, yeah. Otherwise, it's a circle.
I would think that's probably the most common one on this list that people understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been corrected a lot in society. I hear much more people saying 180 now
180,
than 360.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that might be the only one we've corrected out of any of this list. People referring to a lion being the king of the jungle without realizing lions don't live in jungles.
They live in the Serengeti. Yes, they're on the plains, the African plains. Yeah.
Although I was watching the Americas a little bit last night, and I did not know that in Florida, like in the Keys, but in like Everglades and all that, they got bears. They got black
bears
there. Yeah, I didn't even know that. Although that was
that's
wild.
Cool. Yeah,
I get that some it might not be common knowledge, but I mean, you know, one quick Googler search of lions, and you're going to see. Hey, how come I don't see lions hanging from jungle trees?
Nothing to do with the jungle. Tigers do, but not lions.
I blame the Jungle Book.
You know what? You may be right, man.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
I did not put any thought into that. I just threw it out there. I did. Irregardless.
This one, I've had a long debate about with someone.
Really?
Oh yeah, long ongoing debate.
So which side were you on? You don't need the ear.
You don't need the ear.
Just it's regardless, mm-hmm. right? Yeah,
regardless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the double negative.
Yep, double negative. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, this one. For all intensive purposes, I don't feel like anything good has probably ever come after that. Those words, I'm not sure. At least I'm not sure. I'm sure there probably has in the history of English language, but
it's
hard to
imagine.
Many
times. Many times I've used that phrase.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Money can't buy happiness.
Can't buy me love.
It's a good song lyric.
Yeah.
Happy as a clam.
Yeah, are clams happy?
Yeah, where did that
probably
come from?
Probably not the ones I've eaten, but so they're not happy at all.
That's an interesting one.
Does it look like they're smiling? I don't even think it looks like they're smiling.
They don't have eyes.
They, unless you put googly eyes on them.
Right. Right. Oh, then no. They look happy.
Yep. Hey, wait a minute now. So they just did a they're trying to get a petition in New York to put googly eyes on the subway trains. And it got me thinking. I'm like, I don't know about that, but I think we need more googly eyes on things.
On yes, things. Yes,
maybe, do. Maybe. But we like, do. Yeah, that's actually not.
It's up there with naming inanimate objects for me.
Hey,
let's stop doing that.
I do that all the time.
I know you do, you weirdo. Yeah.
It's okay. I'm okay. I'll be weird. I like that.
The idiom happy as a clam originates from the phrase happy as a clam is high water. The phrase is rooted in the fact that clams are most safe and protected from the human harvesters during high tide.
So we just don't have the second part that we're supposed to say. Yeah. See, now that makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Happy as a clam during high tide.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. People alternately advise, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's the little things that count.
Which is it?
Yeah, yeah. So that is a mixed bag. I never, ever thought of that.
The
that
devil's is a mixed in bag. The details. How about that? Yeah. That's yeah. another one, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That just confused my brain. That wrinkled my brain.
You got to use whichever one applies in the moment.
I guess, yes, even though they contradict each other. Yeah.
And there is another flip-flop of convenience. The early bird catches the worm, but also there's the second mouse gets the cheese. The second mouse gets the cheese? I don't think I've ever heard that one.
Yes, because the first mouse got caught in the trap.
Killed in the trap. The second mouse gets the cheese. Yeah. Now it's my cheese.
Man, anybody ever realize how dark some idioms are?
They like, are, some man. Of these oh, are absolutely. Very,
like, they're like the early fairy tales.
Yeah, Grimm's
fairy tales. Did you have any more, James? Because I just thought of one.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
To go with. I couldn't care less to I could care less.
Yeah.
That's one. Because if you could care less, that means you could. You couldn't care less means you really don't care.
Mm. Yeah. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't like that one. Overused.
I don't like that one.
I admit I use that one probably more than more than any of these other ones and everything. Right. And I wholeheartedly also admit it is a placebo.
Yep.
It is a placebo.
It can very well be used as one, yeah.
I have to believe that.
Yeah.
I genuinely, I don't.
Well,
if you
believe in free will, I mean, then that cannot be the case, right? Mm-hmm. That everything doesn't have to happen for a reason. Right,
right.
Right. And it's if you believe in destiny.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like to believe in both, and I don't have any logical reason for that or anything other than that's the way my life has gone. So I just kind of go with that.
Yeah, it's trying to extract meaning sometimes because we humans crave that, understanding. Mm-hmm. They crave meaning in what they're doing, so it's not like otherwise it's very scary. To be, it's like chaos everywhere. So it's something that we cling to because it helps get through life, basically. Yeah,
it's a placebo. Yeah. I admit it.
Nothing wrong with placebos.
Final one here. I can't say. Skibidid.
Skibidi?
Skibidi. Skibidi.
Is it the skibidi toilet thingy? Yeah, is that what it is?
Well, they say teenagers use this one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So skibidi.
Yeah, my kids have used it in the past.
Never heard it.
Yeah,
haven't heard that one.
Did they say what it means again? Because I can't remember.
No, they didn't say what it means.
Of course
it has a meaning, but I can't remember what it is.
It sounds like one of those words where, how dogs can only hear, certain animals can hear stuff at a high pitch.
Or very high pitch,
I feel like it's that guy. It's the meme thing.
The skibbity toilet thing. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Man, that got a lot bigger than I would have ever imagined.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
It's very
weird. So getting to one other topic here in the monologue or in this segment, May is National Burger Month, and ooh. Red Robin is celebrating with a bottomless burger pass.
Red Robin.
The passes will get you a burger and a
bottle. No free advertising.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
sorry.
Red Robin. You owe us $20, Red Robin. The passes will get you a burger and a bottomless side every day of the month of May for only $20.
Really?
The bottomless burger passes will be available at redrobin.com starting tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. And if you want one, you should set an alarm because there's only a limited number of them available.
See, those are going to go fast.
That's where it is. Okay, I was waiting for that.
But you said it was for the month of May.
Right. I don't understand what they're doing there. It's unclear how limited they'll be, but apparently they don't want to repeat Red Lobster's unlimited endless shrimp fiasco, which really contributed
put them out of business.
Yeah. Or what we were talking about with the crafts. store
Joanne Fabrics.
Yeah, that they had this business model that just did not work. Where they, I think, good intended. They really wanted to give customers a lot of free stuff and a lot of cool deals, mm-hmm. but it ended up costing them in the end. The Bottomless Burger Pass will be good for up to $22 worth of food and beverages every day for a max value of $682.
So there's a limit. There is a limit, of course. There is always a limit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's
but
no free lunch.
It's interesting that they call it Bottomless Burger, but it's the burger. You only get one, and then it's the side that's
yeah.
endless.
So maybe it's a little bit misleading. A little bit. What they're calling, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. But, I mean, have we become to the point where this is like, yeah, all right, yeah, they're doing this special promotion. You know, what's the catch? Yep. You know, what do we have to
you always gotta look
jump through hoops yep. or do something mm-hmm. to get this, right? And limits.
Scan this QR code. Take yeah. a chance of getting viruses on your whatevers.
So there's not really, I mean, I'm sure there might be one here in Wisconsin, but for the most part, I know Red Robins are a lot in Illinois. I know that's where I went to one.
Wausau has one, I know.
Okay.
There's a few around the state, yeah.
So certainly, you know, it was a good morning to them and a shout out to them and everything. But I'm a little biased on this one. When I was living in, my second run living in Illinois, the people that I was around, and the person I was living with would not stop talking about Red Robin and how great it was. And it was like a year until we finally went to one. And we go to one, and I tried the burger, and I'm like, ah.
It's fine.
It was, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it,
their fries are good, too, but they're not super special. Yeah.
And honestly,
it's fast food.
Yeah. Reading something like this does the opposite. It makes me not want to go there. In part because I don't like to add to these kind of things that are, I think, pointless. This doesn't
gimmicks.
It's
very gimmicky, yeah.
It's very, and you shouldn't, anything that is being given away or contests or anything like that, it shouldn't take that much to be able to figure it out. Right. It shouldn't be this much different, like, oh, you got to do this, and this, mm-hmm. and it doesn't apply to this, and this, but we're calling it Bottomless Burger Pass.
Right.
I don't want to endorse that. I don't want to be a part of that. And I don't have a whole lot of dollars and cents, but where I choose to use them are places that aren't going to do that.
Right. Right, exactly.
That ain't right. I don't think that ain't right story.
Right.
And to marketers and executives, or to marketers and sales, get better at this.
Yeah.
This is overcomplicating something that doesn't need to be overcomplicated.
Right.
And just because both words begin with a B doesn't mean you call it Bottomless Burger.
Alliteration only goes so far.
I say
all
that,
the apps. There you go.
There you go.
I say that as somebody who has renamed, been in charge of the two renamings of Morning Magazine to Midday Magazine to the Rapids Report.
But now we've landed on the perfect name.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. It's very good. It's very good.
Owning my words. I'm just owning it.
Just take it and run.
Yeah.
Good on you.
We will take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show. And we're talking Easter egg hunts when we get back, everybody. A lot of them coming up for you on the morning show at WFHR.
This is the chef of love, Chef Jannard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old, and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/actnow.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
I need to pack all of this stuff into my vehicle. What's the best way to do it?
Okay, we're going to play car Tetris.
My former sister-in-law was the best.
It's amazing.
I would like to see her and my father go toe-to-toe.
Nice.
Because my dad, man, this is where my dad shines.
Competitive car packing. I love the idea. It's some cameras on that.
Yes, new sport.
It's on ESPN 15.
Weekdays from 8 to 10. Sunny, seasonal, calm, and comfortable today, with high temperatures making it to the mid-50s. We start to get a little breezy tonight with a few more clouds filtering in, and tomorrow, windier and warmer. High temperatures cap 60 degrees with
with showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away.
Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you, taking you to the top of the hour. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into closing of the show and our schedule and some good stories of the day and our Easter egg hunts that we're going to touch on and everything, just a quick reminder again about what we talked about in the beginning of the show and some of the changes that are going to be going on here at our stations. Those will begin next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 23rd. Yep.
We will get back into this on Monday's show, talk a little bit more about it then, remind everybody, and gear you up and get you ready for it going forward. And thank you again to everybody. I can't thank you guys enough. Not a lot, but I've gotten a couple of emails and texts from people being very encouraging about stuff.
Thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Really appreciate that, everybody. We're in the same boat you are in out there. So we appreciate
doing our best.
That. Yeah.
Doing our best.
Looking at our schedule for today, boy, we got a great midday magazine lined up for you. In part one, we're going to be speaking with Mayor Matt Zacher from Wisconsin Rapids Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media are going to be in to record. That's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And in part two, our good friend Jacob Wagner, public health strategist with the Wood County Health Department, is going to be in with us.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah, Jacob's great. A great talker. And we're going to have some fun talking with him today. Drug Take Back Day is coming up on the 26th. We'll be talking about that.
Important. Very important.
It's a good day.
We got Playmakers for you today from 5 to 6. Be sure to join us for that one. A big thank you to Family Natural Foods and Quality Plus Printing sponsoring that. Give us an opportunity to hang out with all of you and talk some sports.
Sports.
I believe Michael's going to be in with us today, and man, we got plenty to talk about.
Yes, you do.
And a quick reminder that it's Wednesday, and we all know what that means.
Bingo!
Bingo.
Bingo. Oh, we almost had it, though. That was pretty good, actually.
Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street. When we say buy local, support local, we're talking about people like our friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge put so much into this community. Mm-hmm. Their doors open at 5. Bingo begins at 630. Head on over there. Have a good time, everybody.
Yeah.
And Seth and I are going to go through some Easter egg hunts now with everyone.
Let's do it, everyone. And I believe these are all happening this coming Saturday, the 19th. We're going to start off by going to the Pines Driving Range. Join them for the Easter Bunny for an Easter egg hunt. This event is open to both members and the public of the golf course, the driving range. Children up to 12 years old. It starts at 10 a.m. sharp. The event is there. The event is snow or rain. This event will be, if it snows or rains, I love the fact they put snow in there, will be moved indoors. The Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis is having their 97th annual Easter egg hunt.
That's awesome.
At the Lincoln High School staff parking lot. That's on the north side, parallel to the expressway at 16th Street South. Activities will start at 9 a.m. with pictures with the Easter Bunny and some carnival-style games from 9 to 10. The egg hunt will start promptly at 10 a.m. at the sound of the air horn, so you'll know, everyone, when to get going. At 10 a.m., the Grand Rapids Volunteer Fire Department will have their Easter egg hunt at Mid-State Technical College, 500 32nd Street North in Rapids. Starts at 10 a.m. Get there early. The Easter egg hunt is sponsored by area merchants. Emergency vehicles will also be on display from the Grand Rapids Fire Department, United Emergency Medical Response, Grand Rapids Police Department, and the Wood County Sheriff's Department. For ages 10 and under, this is weather permitting, so keep that in mind, everyone. Nakusa, their Easter egg hunt is going to be happening at 416 Crestview Lane. All egg hunts are free. Meet the Easter Bunny as well. They'll also have face painting, lunch for only $3, and one big prize per age group. That's ages 0 to 3 at 1115, ages 7 to 9 at 1205, ages 4 to 6 from at 1140, and then at 1230, ages 10 to 12. For more information, go to the website fornakusa.org. That's fornakusa.org. Then at 10 a.m. in Port Edwards, the Port Edwards Lion Club will be having their Easter egg hunt at Alexander Park. That's at 210 2nd Street in Port Edwards. James' turn.
Whew, got to take a break. You can get some water. Yeah. The Port Edwards Community Easter egg hunt Saturday, April 19th at 10:15, immediately following the Lions Club hunt at the park.
Okay.
On the Port Edwards United Methodist Church lawn, this is at 411 Wisconsin River Drive, special egg hunts for toddlers, candy-filled eggs, and golden egg products. prizes.
Ooh.
Rain date the following Saturday at the same time.
All right.
And then another Easter egg hunt Saturday, April 19th, 9 a.m. at Vesper Recreational Park. There will be prizes, hot chocolate and coffee, raffle baskets, and the Wood County Sheriff's Department and Vesper Volunteer Fire Department will also be in attendance.
Nice.
They will have a cash raffle tickets available for purchase. Please no dogs, and it is sponsored by the Vesper Recreation Committee.
Nice.
And finally, again, Saturday, April 19th in Rudolph, the Village Easter Egg Hunt will be held in Rudolph Village Park at 10 a.m. The event is sponsored by the Lions Club.
All right. Nice. Now, according to Brittany, looks like we're going to be having some pretty nice weather on Saturday. Yeah. So hopefully everything will go off without a hitch this year.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it.
I have one more to add. The Southwood County YMCA is having an Easter egg splash.
Oh, that's right.
On Saturday, April 19th. It's a free event if you bring a non-perishable food item, and all donations will be delivered to Focus. So space is limited. You need to register, and you can find that on their Facebook page and probably also on their website, or give them a call at 715-818-9622.
All right. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you,
Mel.
Absolutely.
And if you want a list of all of these Easter egg hunts, be sure to sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com, because I have all of these listed in our newsletter this week with links to the locations. So you can easily click and see where the closest one is to you.
Man, where else are you going to get that? Nowhere else.
Our team is hard at work putting the newest edition of the newsletter together. Be sure to get on over to WFHR.com, sign up for that newsletter, and you'll have a new edition in your email box tomorrow at noon.
Mm-hmm.
Our friends over at Seventh Advent Church have Meals with Love, free community meal going on today at 4:15. That's when the doors will open at 4:15. The meals will be served at 4:30 and 5:30 at 611 24th Street North, right here in Rapids. Big thank you to all of them that are part of that one and making that happen.
Yes, indeed.
And we talked about this yesterday with our friends over at the Southwood County Historical Museum. The Laura Ingalls Wilder exhibit is going on until the end of the month. Go check that out, everybody. Take in some local pride and a fellow Wisconsinite.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind to make plans for the 27th. Lynn Urban is going to be there from 2 to 4. She's going to have a presentation where she's going to be talking about this. She's spent a lot of time studying and researching and knows quite a bit about Laura Ingalls. And she's going to have a really nice presentation about that. That is free and is open to all ages.
Nice.
And keep in mind, next month, Becoming the United States, Colonial America to Reconstruction is an exhibit that they will be having over there that I cannot wait to check out.
Mm-hmm, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it sounds great. Support our great friends over at the Southwood County Historical Museum at 540 3rd Street South, right here in Rapids. Get on over there, everybody.
All right.
And I wanted to remind everyone as well that Tom Heiser, our good friend Tom, with our monthly veterans updates, told us about this happening over at the VA Clinic. Women's Health Education on Wheels. This will be taking place from noon to 1 on April 23rd at the Wisconsin Rapids Area VA Clinic, Financial Health Department right over there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that, Tom.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Tom's the best.
A group of pickleballers in Texas broke a world record by playing pickleball for 30 straight hours.
Woo!
The old record was 34.
Wow.
The event in Texas raised over $18,000 for a charity called Taylor's Gift that it supports families of organ donors.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
I love the fact that they're using these records to gain awareness and donations for specific things. That's a really great idea.
I hope everybody's got their creative hats on, and we're thinking of stuff here. We got to break a Guinness record.
One day. We will figure out what that is.
We got to do it. Yep. What the record and what the cause we're going to help out with and everything.
I cannot play pickleball for 30 hours.
I don't even know. I've never even played it, so I don't even know if I could. Yeah. A dog got stuck on the roof in Hartford, Connecticut on Sunday and had to be rescued by firefighters. It got out through an attic window and was sitting on the very peak of the house.
Oh, dear.
They used a bucket truck to get it down. They joked that it's such a brave dog, they might need to offer it a job.
Nice.
It is not a Dalmatian, though. So,
that's all right.
Changed things up a little bit over at the department. That's a great one. It also reminded me of our listener calling, sending in a great name for our pet of the week, the dog over at the Southwood County Maine Society, the big guy, Roof. Roof.
Roof. Oh, that's Roof. Perfect. Oh, Roof
so
the dog.
Good. Yeah. So good. So good. Yeah, and I want a mini series about this dog. This is a great story. The video, the footage is amazing. And
oh, wow.
They're not giving enough credit to these firefighters and how they were calming this dog as they're going up there.
Right.
Any second, yeah, the dog could jump, and they did it such an amazing job.
That is so cool.
Really working with this dog and everything.
That's great.
Maybe that'll have to be the next series on Kevin the Cat.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen this footage and you could use a palate cleanser, everybody, I encourage you to check this out. There is footage of elephants at a zoo in San Diego and how they reacted to a 5.2 earthquake on Monday by forming a circle to protect the youngest elephants in the herd.
That's what they do. That's right.
Yeah.
Experts say it's something they do instinctively when they sense danger. It's called an alert circle.
An alert circle. Wow. I didn't know what it was called. That's cool.
Animals, in particular elephants, don't speak English. They do this by looking out for each other over millennia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was however long they've been around, right?
Always done it.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do it, we can do it.
Yeah.
We can do that, everybody.
Learn from the elephants.
Yes, yes. And by that, I mean anytime you see trouble, you get a bunch of people around, you circle. No, we can do
you
we
make
can
a
do,
big circle.
We can do this as a society.
What do we do now? I don't know.
Metaphorically, I feel like. Maybe it wasn't the greatest. Maybe it was, you know. Again, a big shout out to all you out there, and a big thank you to Phil Hartley joining us today from Quality Plus Printing.
Yep.
That was a lot of fun. Tomorrow, we'll have our Pet of the Week with the South County Maine Society.
Yep.
And a lot more fun. Have a great day, everybody.
You too.
This is
CBS News Brief. Attorney General Pam Bondi says the Trump administration is suing Maine's education department for ignoring a push to ban trans athletes in girls' sports.
The state of Maine is discriminating against women by failing to protect women in women's sports. Pretty basic stuff.
Congressional Republicans getting hit with tough questions about the administration at town hall meetings back home. Iowa's Chuck Grassley taken to task over the mistaken deportation of a Maryland man.
Do your job, Senator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Trump obeyed the Supreme Court. Trump's not obeying the Supreme Court. He just ignores them.
Yeah.
The retail sales jumped 1.4% last month as Americans rushed to buy big ticket items like foreign cars ahead of new tariffs. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger doesn't believe that spending trend, though, will continue.
Right now, consumer sentiment is at worse levels than it was during the financial crisis of 2008.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9.